Hi, everybody, and welcome to That's Life, the show where when we take a water break, thousands of people do not write about it on Twitter. Good afternoon, folks, and thanks for listening. I'm Miriam L. Wallach, blogger, writer, and general manager here at the Nachum Segal Network. You can find me here every Thursday at 2 p.m. as I hope to bring you a little entertainment, a little news, and a little relief that the life you are leading is not nearly as wacky as mine. Coming to you from the home of the Nachum Segal Network on the beautiful Lower East Side, I am joined by my handy-dandy partner, Avrami. What's up, Avram?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's going on with you?
Well, this is my second time being in New York this week.
Yeah, by the way, what's up with that? For those people who don't know, I don't know why, but Avrami commutes from Baltimore.
Right. So I had some confidential work to take care of on Monday. So I came
Let's mention the confidential work on out, the air.
Yeah, it turned out that I was able to get a ride in with a friend on Sunday. I didn't have to take the bus, and we did get lost looking for gas. And then apparently there wasn't enough gas stations on the turnpike.
You don't have an app for that?
We went off the turnpike. She did. We went off the turnpike into Cranberry, New Jersey.
Oh, Lord.
We found a couple of closed gas stations because it was almost midnight. And then we finally found them. We got back on our way. So when I came in this morning and the bus, and I was really exhausted, and it's dark outside, and I slept all the way till the bus stop, and the guy says, New York City, and I woke up, and I completely had no idea where I was supposed to be, whether I was supposed to be in Baltimore or New York, and I thought to myself, did I sleep so long that
you went
they
back
made
and
the trip back to New York? And then I took a second, I was like, no, wait, I'm supposed to be in New York now. So.
By the way, that's why I feel every Friday night when I fall asleep on the couch. It's like the best REM sleep ever, but I wake up completely disoriented. I don't know I'm in my own house. By the way, I don't even think I need to mention the craziest story that happened to me this week because you just topped it.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could do that.
Yeah, and I'm happy to hear that. I mean, I'll share my crazy story a little bit later. Can we make these a little louder? I don't know what's going on. You know what? A little bit more. I have a feeling.
Do you hear again?
Much
another?
Better. Yeah. No. Now it's better. You know what? I have a feeling. I have a feeling that the last person to use these cans was probably Rivka Abbey, and she likes it very low. She has very sensitive ears. God bless her. Anyway, we love her. If you are a new listener to the show, thank you for taking a break from your day to tune in. And if you are a returning listener, thanks as always for making us part of your day. If Miriam L. Wallach once a week is just not enough for you, do what Ellen Kleinhaus does. You can friend me on Facebook. Or send me an invite on LinkedIn. By the way, those of you who want to shoot me an email at mydearthatslife.com email, you're more than welcome to because I got rid of 3,000 emails I didn't need, so now I can accept more. That's all it took is just deleting them. Who knew? I'm not being rude. I will not respond to your email during the show, but I will get back to you afterwards. Also, please follow us on Twitter, Nachum Segal Net, all one word. So make sure to get all our updates during the day. By the way, the water break reference at the beginning of the program was a shout-out to Marco Rubio, who I'm sure does not listen to this program, though he should. It's very entertaining. But it is a reference to all the tweets that came out as a result of the fact that he took a sip of water during the minority response to the State of the Union address on Tuesday night. I'm making a face. Why? Not a big deal?
That he took a break to drink water?
In the middle of his live broadcast, he had already pre-taped the response that he had delivered in Spanish. And so this was live, national television. This is the national spotlight for the minority response to the State of the Union address. The president, I mean, it's like somebody said on MSNBC, it's like following the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. You don't want to be the guy who follows the Beatles. And Barack Obama just delivered as a performer, you can talk about his content another time. But as a performer, he delivered a phenomenal State of the Union address. And then you get up, you're delivering the minority response. Everybody's looking at you, and you stop for a water break.
I know, Reisman used to speak all Shavuos night, and he would go for a couple hours before he needed a water break.
I know. So what's with Marco Rubio? And by the way, they also responded. They also made it sound like he had a term that you used for me once was like cotton mouth.
I don't remember using that term.
Yeah, you said it to me. Like I had a dry mouth or whatever. You was like...
But, I mean, the guy's thirsty. He's thirsty. What are you going to do?
I know, but you know what?
We're human.
So you're the only person who didn't tweet about it? I mean, I didn't tweet about it, but you didn't tweet about it either?
No. I didn't see it.
And you're not impressed? That's not a big deal? You're not talking about it?
No, I don't know. I think we pick apart too many things. That's all. And that's what we do nowadays, so it's part of the popular culture. But I'm old, so I don't care about that kind of thing.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet. Okay, well.
Look, see, it's the middle of the show, and I'm drinking coffee.
And by the way, I brought donuts. Not bad. Let's take a minute to go to our favorite segment. What does the fortune cookie say? Hold on. By the way, I totally need to buy Chinese food this week. We're low on our stash. If somebody wants to send us a shipment to fortune cookies, I'm totally in.
Or Chinese food.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, I also, you know, I brought the munchkins because you kept complaining about the food situation. And
I don't complain. I just make observations.
Cooking is easy. Doing dishes is the hard part. All right, whatever.
They're both therapeutic in their own way.
I need more fortune cookies. These are weak. These are weak. Let's take care of some business. Today's national holidays includes Ferris Wheel Day. Nice. No? Nothing?
I'm not a big heights fan.
Oh, for the love of... I mean, what did you take? Debbie Downer pills today? What's with you? It's Frederick Douglass Day. If you don't know who that is, Google him. It's Pet Theft Awareness Day. You stealing somebody's pets, Robbie?
They wouldn't let it in my building,
so I wouldn't
do anything.
Day. In celebration of the day, I think we should steal somebody's pet. Obviously, I'm just kidding. It's also Library Lovers Day. Who knew? National Have a Heart Day. Okay. One of our guests, by the way, evidently knew that it was Library Lovers Day. That's funny. We're going to have to talk about that. It's World Congenital Heart Defect Awareness Day. Okay. It's League of Women Voters Day. It's National Women's Heart Day. National Call-In Single Day. I don't know what that means, but I don't even know who you're supposed to call in and say you're single. I haven't figured that out. And by the way, whoever keeps sending me those emails telling me that Christian singles are getting together and I have an opportunity to meet, stop. I don't understand what that's about. I don't, A, happily married. B, not Christian. Otherwise, I'm up your alley. I have no idea what that's about. Race Relations Day. I'm a liberal, so this works well for me. National Donor Day. Quirky Alone Day. Sometimes I go to the movies by myself. I just want to share that. It's also World Marriage Day, and for good reason. And for those people who are celebrating it or buying a card, thank you, Hallmark, it is Valentine's Day. So if you're into that, great. If you're not, you can ignore the last part and just celebrate Quirky Alone Day, because sometimes you feel that way. Anyway, crazy follows me everywhere. I know that Avrami just topped my story, but I do want to share the following. For those people who are unaware, but I'm sure you can imagine, I happen to drive a truck. I don't drive a minivan. I'm sure it doesn't surprise anybody who has gotten to know me. I drive a Suburban. Anyway, I was coming home the other night after the Ohel dinner, and all of a sudden this guy cuts me off. This small car cuts me off, and it was an older gentleman, and I am honking, and literally, I mean, we are inches away from each other, and if I would have moved to the left, I would have hit the oncoming traffic, and all of a sudden I slam on my brakes, and I'm on the horn, and he quickly moves back to the other side, and then when we come to the red light, he rolls down his window and he motions to me to roll down my window. And I'm like, what is going on here? And he looks at me and goes, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Now, I get that a lot. That's the punchline. I mean, how much bigger do I need to be? And he was driving a small car. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. And I looked at him and I said, I gathered. And I'm just like, I can't figure that out. How much bigger do I be to be? This guy once, a couple years ago, on Mother's Day, backed right into me. I'm honking, backed right into me. And he slams into me, and then he gets out of the car. He goes, I didn't see you. I'm like, seriously? Come up with something else, people. Anyway, that's my short story. Avrami's is still better. Anyway, you are listening to That's Life live from the home of the Nachum Segal Network here on the lovely Lower East Side. I am Miriam L. Wallach, and I am joined by my first two guests who are here together. And not only do they represent a phenomenal organization and institution, but they're actually good friends of mine. Michelle Segelnick is Executive Director of American Friends of Rambam Medical Center, and Leah Bernstein is the Associate Director of American Friends of Rambam Medical Center. And Michelle has not been here in a while, and I'm a little low on my anti-germ spray. I don't even know what you would call this.
Hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer is probably a better one. You know what? We should have Hand Sanitizer Day. Avram, can you Google and see if there's a Hand Sanitizer Day? Thank you, buddy. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure. You know, I have to be honest with you. There are a few websites that I go to where I'm not as I can't be more intimidated than when I go to the Rambam Medical Center website, simply because there is so much incredible news and information and advancements going on in Haifa that I look at this going, wow, I don't know what to say.
It is very impressive. And actually, we just returned from Israel. We were there last week for a week, and we got to see firsthand some of the really exciting progress and stuff going on there.
Yeah, your Facebook pictures also make me jealous. I mean, if it was being totally honest day here at That's Life, that's what I would say. I'm intimidated by the website, and your pictures make me jealous.
Sorry.
But I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about the picture of the month, which is a feature on the website of different cool things that are up and coming. And one of them is the Fishman Oncology Center. Okay, you're both nodding. I'm like, yeah, I know. I just checked the site. Tell me about the Fishman Oncology Center.
So we're currently in the process of an entire capital campaign. Our campus is getting a new facelift. We're building an entire new West Campus, all on top of the underground emergency hospital, which we've talked about in the past.
I know, but we have to talk about it again because it still blows my mind. But we'll do that in a minute.
We'll talk about that. So one of the new buildings that are going on top of that is the new oncology center. We are building a comprehensive cancer institute. It will be the only one of its kind in northern Israel, where it will service the 2 million citizens north of Hadera up north.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And it was actually donated by a family of a grateful patient by the name of Fishman from Canada originally. He lived in Haifa also, but in Canada, when he got sick with cancer, he decided to come back to Haifa and be treated there, and we kept him alive for several years after his treatment.
I mean, the socialized medicine in Canada actually didn't work, and they had to come to Israel. All right, we can talk about that another time.
So,
Michael Moore, yeah.
The doctor who treated him had no idea that he was a wealthy individual, and towards the end of his life, when he knew the time was coming, he said to the physician in charge, he said, "I want to give something to the hospital. What do you need?" And he said, "I can use some new, you know, chairs for chemo treatments." And he's like, "No, not a chair." I'm like, "Really? What do you need?
Wow.
What's your dream?" And he's like, "Well, we'd love to build a new cancer center." And he donated upwards of $20 million for this. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And that he bequeathed in his will.
He bequeathed in his will, and his family followed through with it.
Unbelievable. When is that opening?
In a year and a half from now.
Unreal.
Yeah, so the shell is almost completely up, and now we'll start working on some of the interior
stuff. The rendering on the picture alone makes it look like this is not a small endeavor. This is not like one floor.
No, it's eight stories.
Unbelievable.
It's eight stories. There'll be a comprehensive cancer center for all different types of cancer, breast cancer, which...
Yesterday was Pink Day, and actually, Rookie Shorts, Rochelle Shorts, who is the founder of Sharsharit, will be on with us at the second half of this show. One thing I think people should necessarily understand is that if you go to Rambam Medical Center now, there is oncology treatment.
100%.
Right. It's not like we're just starting it in a year and a half.
No. We have all these departments currently, but it'll be centralized in one building instead of, you know, breast cancer in one building and pancreatic cancer in another building. This will be a comprehensive center where all the subspecialties and disciplines will be included. There will be psychology and social workers available. Also, for family support, there will be places where families can stay overnight if they need to be with families
Beautiful.
Who are being treated.
It's beautiful. There's one of the other pictures was the Children's Hospital.
The Ruth Children's Hospital. Ruth Rappaport, also a...
Canadian?
Nope. No.
Who is it?
From Geneva.
Really?
Yes.
So no Americans are doing much right now.
No, the Americans are doing plenty. But the Ruth Children's Hospital actually came about after the 2006 Second Lebanon War. During the war... Bruce and Ruth Rappaport, the late Bruce Rappaport, called up the director of the hospital and said, "Do you guys need a new children's hospital?" He's like,
"Stop it."
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do you wish you get that phone call a day? Nobody's calling me and saying, "You guys need a new studio?" Yeah.
So we're inaugurating that hospital actually in
amazing.
May. So that'll be open at the end of this year, December 2013.
And does that coordinate with the mission?
It coordinates with the mission. The mission is May 5th through the 10th, and on the 9th, we are having a celebration to honor Ruth. It's her birthday, Mrs. Rappaport,
nice.
And we are inaugurating the building then.
So let's talk a little bit about the mission.
Yeah.
Tell me what – you don't want to talk about the mission?
Sure.
Leia's like, "Yes, I do want to talk about the mission."
Sure.
Tell me about the mission, because I have to be honest with you. We may be in Israel that week. And by the way, by we, I don't mean Stephen and myself. I mean Nahum. So I would love to – yeah, I know. Trust me. We're going to talk when the show is over. Tell me what's going on between the 5th and the 10th. I mean, the way I read it is that it was broken up into two parts. There's the Galil Golan part of the mission,
right.
And then there's the healthcare campus part of the mission. Tell me what's going on.
Exactly. So, I mean, every time we run a mission, and this will be our third year running a mission, we try and bring everything back to Rambam because we're a Rambam hospital. So everything needs to relate back to Rambam. And what better than being in the north, located in Haifa, than to go to the Galil and the Golan
right.
and actually see the strategic advantage and the necessities? Thank you.
It's broken teeth day also
yes.
here at That's Life.
Of having a hospital like Rambam near the border of Lebanon, near the border of Syria. So when, God forbid, there is an incident or an attack, that we're there to care for the people and the soldiers and the civilians of the area. So we're going to spend time up north and see this, how it relates back to Rambam. We're going to a boutique winery one day.
Yeah, I did see that on the itinerary, and it made me smile. And not that I don't want to see the campus. I definitely want to see the campus.
No, but that also relates back to Rambam.
Yes,
because we're going to have one of our professors with us, Professor Mickey Aviram, who does research on the benefits of wine and pomegranate juice with heart disease.
You're kidding me.
That's not where
I was going with the joke. But this is actually this is much better.
No, and then we're also going to have
the interactive chef day.
Are you serious?
Yes, with the Sheva Minim of Israel, and also incorporating in Dr. Mickey Aviram's research with the pomegranate and the necessity in the human body to have a certain amount of pomegranate and wine on a daily basis in order to improve your health.
This is my stunned face, by the way. Yeah. I am just like sitting here completely stupefied. Because there are so many missions, I'm not saying this to make every alcohol joke in the world, but there are so many missions that are dry. as we would say here, rim shot, but I'm bum. There are so many missions that are, I don't want to say ultra serious or lacking ta'am or flavor. Again, sorry with the puns and the complete metaphor. But here, there is an appreciation of A, everything that Israel delivers, and B, how it connects to Rambam, and C, a forward-thinking approach into how to look at people who are either coming as donors or coming as interested, and people who are just coming as spectators or supporters or friends of Rambam, who want to see what the campus is all about, what the research entails, and how it relates to them. So many people, I think, look at different innovations in medicine and say, oh, I don't really get it. I don't really get it because it's beyond them. I mean, that's how I feel when I look at the website. I read all this stuff. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. But I don't get it because I'm not, I'm not medically inclined. But then I'm listening to all this saying, wow, that does apply to me.
It does.
It totally does.
It does. There are so many things going on at the hospital. And like I said, the reason we run a mission is because people want to come visit our campus, yes, and we want to bring people there, but we also want to give them opportunities to see and do things that they can't do on their own and relate everything back to Rambam, because, of course, my goal as the executive director is to have people raise an awareness about the hospital and how it relates back to everything that we do and everything in Israel and here in the States.
Michelle Segalnik and Leah Bernstein from American Friends of Rambam Medical Center in Haifa join me here at That's Life, talking about not only the cool things going on the website, but the cool things that are going on in Haifa. And one of the stories, by the way, that I had read about that I just reminded myself of when I was perusing through the site was the story of these 17 young oncology patients, both Israeli and Arabs, both Jews and Arabs, who got together for a therapeutic weekend, which is what the headline said. Can you tell me about that?
So being in Haifa, we have a very diverse population, not the same as being in Jerusalem or even Tel Aviv, but the demographics of Haifa are very mixed. It's Christians, Arabs, Jews, Druze, Baha'i, everybody living together in treating together all the patients in the hospital, all the staff in the hospital we have. And those demographics are reflected in our base in the hospital with our staff and our administration. We have physicians and heads of departments who are Arabs who work in close connection with their Jewish counterparts. And what we like to think at Rambam, and we display it on a daily basis, is that we are a microcosm of world peace, and we are what peace can look like on a much larger level, because here you see, like now the holiday of Purim is coming up. You will see in the pediatric oncology department, you will see Arab children singing Purim songs and eating hamantaschen along with everybody else. And it's just a really special, warm place because of that.
It probably takes not vina hafochu to a little bit of a different level. People look at it and say, wow, something's wrong with this picture. But I guess in terms of Rambam, that's exactly the picture.
Exactly.
That's a really unique opportunity. I wonder when, over the last number of years that you've been working with Rambam, what are you up to now, 4 or 5?
2.5.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why does it feel like you've been there forever? I think that's just, that's how much more, by the way, I'm not just saying this, that's how much more Rambam is in the forefront of my mind. Kudos to you and everyone who works with you that it's so much more in my life than it was beforehand. You've made it much more of an, you've raised the awareness here, I would say, in the United States as to the amazing thing Rambam does, because you've really, I mean, I thought you worked there for 5 years. That's how fast forward everything has become in terms of bringing it into my world. So kol hakavod to you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. There's, when you came back last week, or when you were there last week, both of you, I mean, Leah, how many times have you been there so far since you started?
Twice.
Nice. Okay. So
yeah, it's been great.
I can only imagine. Between the two of you, what stunned you the most? I mean, you keep hearing amazing stories, and over the last number of years, there have been, you know, newer innovations and greater situations and challenges and tribulations and heartwarming stories. What did you see over your trip that you said, wow, I can't believe this one?
Well, we saw so many things, and it's so wonderful to go and have the hands-on experience. It gives us an encouragement and motivation to continue what we do with great vigor. We saw the progress of the underground hospital.
Well, we got to talk about that in a second, right?
Right. So that is just an amazing, you know, we were there back in August. So from August till February, it was a huge, huge, huge facelift and a, you know, total growth.
Reformation.
Yes. Thank you. And, we met with departments and heads of departments, like we visited the dialysis unit in the nephrology department, and we saw, you know, young adolescents getting dialysis, and yet they were so upbeat, and it was so encouraging to see that they go to school in the morning, they come for their dialysis, and then they go home and they go about their business. And the doctors are just so dynamic and motivated and passionate about what they do. So it helps us be productive and more motivated to come back here and continue our work.
Wow, that's amazing.
I think what was really a highlight of the trip for me this time was that when we came to the hospital, there was this real heavy, oppressive feeling. They're under very, very tight budget controls right now, and especially with the new government in, there are going to be more budget cuts. So there was like this real, like, heavy gray cloud over everything.
Aye.
And then when we were there, we got an amazing email that we just got approved for a $5 million grant from the Helmsley Trust Foundation.
Oh,
and it,
wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't have come at a better
and
time.
And the sunshine.
Yeah. All of a sudden the clouds parted.
That's exactly what it was.
And everybody was excited, and they were making jokes. It's the first time we ever got money from a dog. I mean, it was just.
And the mood and the news spread so quickly. With such great passion and happiness, and it's like a family there. Everybody was just uplifted by the news and, you know, the hope for the future.
That's unbelievable. Where do you think that money is earmarked towards?
It's
at this
point? Earmarked. I know where it's earmarked.
It's already spent. That's the way I feel.
It's specifically for the underground emergency hospital for equipment purchasing.
To buy equipment
for the underground.
All right, so let's talk about the progress of this hospital, because I think the first time I had you on, one of the first times, you know, by the way, Avrami, do I still sound like I have a cold? I mean, this cold is lingering since Miami. All right, I apologize to anyone who says to me, wow, she's holding her nose. I don't know, it was a total segue. But anyway, one of the first times I had you on, Michelle, we talked about this underground hospital, and I think that I just sat here with my eyes bugged out of my head saying, I don't understand how you can build this into the crust of the earth. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And even when I see, like, you know, the subway construction, when they're building this new line up Lexington Avenue, I'm still saying it doesn't make any sense to me. But that's one story. How many stories into the ground is this underground hospital?
This is three stories underground, three stories below sea level.
Below sea level.
So remember when
that's incredible.
Right. When we started construction, we actually had the largest swimming pool in Israel because
we're
the
also
water
adjacent
in.
To the ocean.
Right.
So we had a year's worth of pumping to do.
Oh, my word. That's not even something I thought about until just right now.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It was pretty incredible to see, like, somebody brought a boat and, like, you know, put
so
their
somebody
boat.
Still thought this was a good idea, despite the fact, no, I'm not knocking it, despite the fact that you were going to have to spend a year pumping. And, of course, the word seawall after Hurricane Sandy is something I'm very familiar with. And all of these other geological and geographical barriers, literally and figuratively, somebody's like, no, we still should do this.
Not only should we do it, we have to do it. We have to do it for the protection and the security of the state of Israel and specifically the North.
How many people, in terms of like medevacking and airlifting, how often on a daily basis do you know? I mean, you may not know this offhand, and that's totally fine. It's a strange question. But how often does somebody get medevaced into Haifa, because it is such a major medical center, on a daily basis from other areas around Israel?
So I don't know the exact figures. I know that there are constantly helicopters landing at the helipad. I do know that we are the only level one trauma center in the north of Israel.
And that includes traumas like what?
Car accidents, stabbings, gunshots, any type of
trauma.
Right.
So we're the only level one trauma center. So that means we get referrals from all the 11 surrounding hospitals, as opposed to in the center in Tel Aviv, you have two or three level one trauma centers, and the same in Jerusalem. So because we're the only one in the north, we see more than double the amount of trauma victims than any other hospital.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm not even sure where to go next, but in terms – so let's go back to the hospital, because I want to understand more about where we're at. So you finished pumping.
We're finished everything practically. There's about a few more months left of just infrastructure work. The three stories are there. The walls are there. They have to finish the flooring and do the lines for the parking spots. Everything is built into the walls right now as far as the oxygen lines and the air lines and the electricity.
I still can't get over that visual. I wonder if, please God, if we're able to coordinate and come in May, what this is. I mean, I have to see it for myself.
100%.
I have to see what this
looks
like.
Once you see it, you will be smitten.
It is just, it's Israeli ingenuity. It's American. Are there other underground hospitals located on this planet?
There's one in Singapore.
Singapore?
Yes.
Why Singapore? Wait, I asked the same
question. Why do they need it?
It's a small hospital.
It's 400 beds. They're afraid of attack from Malaysia. That's what I was told.
Okay. You know what? I can't.
I can only repeat what I was told.
Right. I was about to say, I'm not shooting the messenger in this case. That is, okay, Malaysia.
Yes. So Singapore has a 400-bed underground hospital.
Part of my ignorance. I didn't realize they were such a threat. Okay, fine.
But it's not a parking garage also.
North Korea and Malaysia, up in the same category of scary. What'd you say? It's not a parking garage?
No. Ours is a parking garage in times of peace. And hopefully
yours
it stays that way.
Yours is a parking lot. It's not, It's not dormant.
It's
correct.
Not dormant. And the whole ingenuity about it is that within, I think it's 7 to 10 years, the parking garage starts to make money and pays for itself.
Really?
Yeah, because we're going to charge people for parking.
You're going to charge people for parking. And
not New York City rates, parking, Haifa rates. We pass the parking lot in Haifa. It's 10 shekels for the whole day to park by Rambam Hospital.
Are you serious?
That's like $2.50 or less. I don't even know.
That's not normal. It's like when I get a good spot here, I'm thinking about just leaving my car there and then making somebody pay me for the spot and let them get me. Whatever. It's the Lower East Side. There's nothing I can tell you. I am joined by Michelle Segelnick and Leah Bernstein from the American Friends of Rambam Medical Center. We only have a couple of minutes left. Tell me what the next great thing is on the horizon. What are you making fun of my hands?
No, I got the next great thing for you.
All right, go.
We are working on an event that is going to take place this summer in August on Martha's Vineyard. It's called On the Vines. It's an event that's going to benefit.
When is this? I'm sorry. I need to write this down. Say
August 22nd through 25th.
Really? Yes. In Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait till you hear, Miriam.
I'm listening.
You are on board.
Listening. I am. Put me on a boat. I'm on my way. Tell me what this is about.
So it's going to benefit kidney disease research and is targeting the affluent African American community. One of our professors, Carl Skorecki, found the kidney disease gene that says that African Americans get fivefold as many time kidney disease as any other ethnic group. So now his research, to take it a step further, is to find out what is the trigger? What makes that
light switch flip on?
Exactly. What makes the light switch flip on in some people? And why do some people, if all the African Americans have this gene, why does it turn on some? And hopefully when we find that result and answer, that will either prevent or cure kidney disease in about 70% of African Americans.
Well, that includes sickle cell anemia is more prevalent in the African American community than it is.
So with genetic testing and intervention early on, we can probably prevent many of these diseases going forward. So this 3-day event on Martha's Vineyard in the summer will be to benefit this research. We're having Babyface and Smokey Robinson and right. Natalie Cole and Cahil El-Zabar. It's going to be a three-day music, jazz, elevation with art and fashion
this
project.
This is insane.
It is insane.
Totally out of the box.
I mean, I'm so for out of the box, but kol hakavod, this takes out of the box to a whole new level. How did you, I mean, literally we have 30 seconds, but how did you pull this off? Whose brainchild was this? That person needs a raise. Whose brainchild? One of you is patting each other.
No, we might have to give Mark a raise then because okay. My husband, we talked about
no
this.
No joke.
No, we talked about this kidney disease, and actually someone, a donor of ours, had mentioned to us, you really need to do something with this kidney disease gene that he found in the African-American community. So I had mentioned it to Mark. Mark is friendly with an African-American guy who wants to do this project. And he said, why don't you do it to benefit Rambam Hospital? And boom, he made the shidduch. And
unreal.
Here we are doing this thing in the summer on Martha's Vineyard.
That's incredible. Well, Leah, if I thought you were tan now, you are going to be tan this summer. That is for sure. Well, kol hakavod to you guys. I can't wait to hear about post the mission and definitely post Martha's Vineyard.
Well, not post the mission. I hope you'll be there
no,
in person.
No, we're
going
to have to talk about this when I get off the air, because if we can pull this off, I think it'll be incredible.
Maybe we can have a show.
Oh, absolutely.
On site. That would be amazing.
Michelle and I have discussed this before, but I would love to do some programming from Rambam.
So there we go.
Let's see if we can pull that off. Anyway, Michelle Segelnick and Leah Bernstein from the American Friends of Rambam Medical Center in Haifa. Tell me how people reach you and how people donate.
They can donate online at our website, www.aforam. Horrible acronym, I know.
.org. A4AM.
A as in apple, FORAM.org. Or they can call us in the office, 212-292-4499.
Well, kol hakavod, and for anybody who is looking to make a donation for seriously something that is incredibly worthwhile and helps, forget the Jewish community, it helps the global community, you can make your donations to Rambam Medical Center. Thank you, ladies, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having
totally
us.
Totally my pleasure. I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Thanks, Miriam.
Hope so. Thank you.
You are listening to That's Life on the Nachum Segal Network. I'm Miriam L. Wallach, joined by my next guest. And I'm so excited to have her on because not only because I'm wearing pink, and I just want her to know that I wore pink yesterday, and I'm wearing pink again today, but but because Rochelle Shoretz has a phenomenal, phenomenal story. She is the founder of Sharsheret. She's executive director. And, Rochelle, thank you for joining me.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for wearing pink 2 days in a row.
I know. By the way, I'm so not a pink girl.
You get the pink prize,
this Miriam. This is a testament to just how excited I was to have you on. The pictures yesterday on Facebook of people supporting Pink Day and Sharsheret's efforts were really overwhelmingly just incredible.
I'm amazed myself.
Does it really surprise you at this point? I mean, the amount of traction that you have gathered and gained over such a short time. I mean, you haven't been around for 30 years.
Well, Sharsheret's 12 years old, so we're creeping up there in years, which is nice. yesterday morning when we started to celebrate Pink Day here in the States, it had already been 7 hours later in Israel, and the pictures were starting to come in even as I woke up in the morning.
Wow.
But my first visit on Pink Day was to TABC, a local high school here in Teaneck, New Jersey, where Sharsheret is based physically, and that was really striking to me, to be there at TABC where Pink Day was launched years ago, and I remember the first photo of Pink Day there with just a handful of students, and then to be in their gymnasium surrounded by hundreds of young men in pink wearing, you know, great pink wigs.
Wow.
And pink boas and really celebrating, but also sharing very serious stories and anecdotes about moms who had passed away of breast cancer, moms who were fighting breast cancer. It was very meaningful to me, and I'm very grateful to have been able to start off Pink Day there.
That's incredible. And other participating schools, just so we should give out some other shout outs, there's Manhattan Day School, and just as west as EULA, I know that Hafter, where my kids go, they're also celebrating Pink Day. My daughter yesterday looked like pink had exploded. I mean, the only thing I'm missing right now on my desk is a bottle of Pepto, just because I wanted the pink. But,
I totally hear you.
Right.
And there were 85 schools across the country in major Jewish communities celebrating Pink Day. Literally, thousands of students wearing pink, and internationally as well. And I definitely do want to give credit to those celebrating Pink Day as far away as Israel, Australia, Brazil, wherever they are celebrating. It was an amazing, amazing day.
Whose brainchild was Pink Day in the first place?
It was a young man by the name of Tzvi Solomon, who was a student at TABC, who, for those of you out there who know Tzvi, just has an amazing entrepreneurial spirit. And wow. Tzvi really wanted to raise awareness about Sharsheret and about breast cancer in the Jewish community, and just took this project under his wing. He's actually engaged to be married and was, so he's moved on and celebrating in lots of different ways this year, but it was really his brainchild. And the truth is, Sharsheret in general is the product of the energy of thousands of young men, women, families across the country. I love to take credit for the founding, but the truth is it's not really the reason for Sharsheret's success. That is truly based in the community at large.
Well, I would have to say that you can give yourself some credit, because your energy, as a person who has met you once, but we've spoken a number of times, but as a person who has family members who know you personally, and we have very good mutual friends, I would have to say that your energy is a huge reason as to why Sharsheret has grown and is as successful as it is in only 12 years. And I know you like to think that 12 years is a long time, but I will tell you that the fact that Sharsheret has established itself only within 12 years the way it has is really a kudos to your effort. So kol hakavod to you.
I appreciate it. Let's
talk for a second about the cake wars that took place at Yeshiva University, which I think is hysterical.
It's amazing. This is their second annual cake wars put together by students at Yeshiva University this year. David Bodner, I think it was last year, David as well. And just an incredible opportunity for young men and women at Yeshiva University to come together and raise awareness about breast cancer. And they have, this year they had 40 teams, I think, participating in Cake Wars. Students come from all over the campus and decorate cakes, and there are, esteemed judges, and it just was an amazing, amazing event.
I love the fact that both of these events, both Cake Wars and Pink Day, were inspired by men. By guys. And I don't mean to be completely sexist, but I hope it doesn't come out this way at all. But kol hakavod to that, and kol hakavod to them. But also, I think it talks to the fact that breast cancer is a word. It is not about a body part as much as it is about a concept. And it is something that I know that when people mention breast cancer, there's no wink, there's no this. It doesn't make anyone uncomfortable, the first word and the second word. Mm. It is, to me, it is just a testament to the fact that this is something that infiltrates homes all over the world. It infiltrates Jewish families all over the world. Mm. And right now, it is also something that everyone takes ownership of.
Yeah, well, that's, really, I think you really hit the nail on the head. At Sharsheret, we like to note that breast cancer is not a Jewish woman's issue. It's a Jewish family issue and a Jewish community issue. And, that, I appreciate the opportunity, Miriam, to note that breast cancer is very, very, very much a Jewish men's issue as well. Not so much in the actual diagnosis, but in the genetic mutation that is found in Jewish men and women. A lot of people talk about the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutation. And we acknowledge, at least now through Sharsheret's work, that mutation is much more common in Jewish women and families. But the truth is that BRCA gene mutation is passed down through men as well. And so it's very important for us at Sharsheret to raise awareness about breast cancer within the community of Jewish men, because they too are carrying a potentially serious mutation that could lead to breast cancer and other cancers, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, in women and men. So, the fact that both Pink Day itself, Cake Wars at YU are spearheaded by men each year is important, not just because men are getting involved in what was traditionally known as a woman's issue, but because it really educates the community, at least we hope it does, that breast cancer gene mutations are issues that are very, very important to both our men and our women.
Since Sharsheret's foundings, according to the site, you have, in 2001, you've responded to more than 25,000 breast cancer inquiries, involved in more than 1,700 peer supporters, and presented over 250 educational programs nationwide.
Now you know why I can't take credit for that alone.
Yes,
those numbers speak to a staff of 14.
Unbelievable.
Thousands of volunteers, both in the office and around the country. Thousands of students from campuses across the country, including students at AEPHI, AEPI. These are national sororities and fraternities across the country. Hillel, Chabad. I mean, we've got people participating all over the U.S., and I think those are really the seeds of Sharsheret's growth.
How successful have you been in getting into communities where discussing breast cancer has been taboo?
Well, I often note that my own grandmother, my Babi Chava, died of breast cancer when I was, younger, about 20 years ago now. And I don't remember my grandmother using the words breast cancer to describe her disease, to describe her illness. Mm-hmm. I don't remember growing up hearing about breast cancer. It just wasn't something that we spoke about. So there definitely was a stronger taboo years back when people referred to cancer as the C word or Yenamachla. Right. They really didn't address breast cancer head on. There are still some communities in which it is very difficult still to initiate conversations about breast cancer, serious concerns, community concerns, and so we work really, really hard at producing materials that are sensitive to the cultures of the very unique communities in which we operate. And we work with the Satmar communities, the Lubavitch communities, some communities in Williamsburg and Borough Park, and we've made great headway. There's still a lot of work to be done. And we're always looking for partners who are interested in bringing Sharshara to their unique communities, whether they're communities that are very adept at talking about breast cancer or communities very new to that conversation. You know, it's our effort to be where we need to be. And so in whatever way we can do that, working with people out there in your audience, you know, we would really be happy to have that conversation.
Are there still situations that shock you? Are there still stories that come up that shock you where you can't believe that after 12 years you're still seeing something or hearing something that totally takes you by surprise?
I think just the opposite. I think I'm more surprised at how much headway we've made. You know, when I first founded Sharsheret, the most frequently asked question I fielded was, is there really a need for a Jewish breast cancer organization? You know, we've got so many cancer organizations out there. We have so many Jewish community organizations already in existence. Is there really room or need for one more? And now, you know, we have a seat on the Federal Advisory Board, Advisory Committee on Breast Cancer and Young Women. We're working with the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention. There's so much national recognition and national need, recognition of the need for Sharsheret's work. That, to me, is even more surprising in a good way, you know, that we are finally at a place where there is a national platform for our culturally relevant work.
Speaking of the national platform, you have presented in some very interesting places and on some very interesting venues, so to speak. Where's the most exciting or out-of-the-box place, I guess I could ask you, that you have presented information about Sharsheret?
I would say in the pizza store in Monticello, probably. One summer we had a grant from a foundation to do outreach in the Hasidic community. And so we spent two summers, actually, going from bungalow colony to bungalow colony and meeting with women, usually poolside, to talk about Sharsheret.
Wow.
And at the end of one very busy day, we hadn't eaten anything. And my colleague, Alana Silber, and I ended up at the pizza store, opened up the trunk, and literally started giving out brochures in, I think it's Fialkoff's. Is that the name of the pizza?
Yes, that's hysterical.
So I would say that's probably the most interesting place we've ever done a presentation about Sharsheret. But the truth is, you know, we've presented, and all of our staff do. We have a staff of 14. I think I mentioned that already.
Right.
And we present at conferences across the country, in homes across the country, before the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which was very exciting for us.
Right.
And the truth is, any place where we can get the word out about breast cancer in our Jewish community is an important venue for us.
I think that nothing would make me feel more self-conscious about being in a bathing suit than discussing breast cancer awareness.
That could be, but the truth is they were all in robes.
Yeah, I would hope so, of course. I would hope so. I'm speaking with Rochelle Shores. She's the founder of Sharsheret. Yesterday was Pink Day, and coming up this weekend is Pink Shabbat.
So Pink Shabbat happens all through the year. It's not one Shabbat a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it takes place on different Shabbosim in communities across the country, and communities themselves decide when and if they want to host a Pink Shabbat. So Pink Shabbat happens in Chicago, you know, it could be in the spring, and it happens in, you know, a community in Los Angeles, you know, on another weekend of the year. And we work with communities across the country to figure out when Pink Shabbat makes sense for them.
One of the pictures, by the way, that I loved on, I think, one of your more recent or semi-recent posts was you with your mom. And there's something about, you know, I have pictures of my parents being proud of me. Thank God, sitter plays and whatever else. But there's something about the smile on your mother's face when either you're presenting somewhere or you're representing Sharsheret that, to me, just speaks more than anything you post with that picture.
Oh, that's sweet. You know, I think breast cancer for any mom is a very difficult journey. I always say that I think it's harder for my mother than it is for me, for my dad as well, and my step-parents. But yeah, you know, Charlotte has been an amazing family opportunity for all of us. It's a way for me, my boys, my parents, my siblings, to turn cancer into an amazing opportunity to better the Jewish community. So we all find it empowering, and I do absolutely love taking pictures with my mom. You'll see a lot of them on Facebook.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic.
Really,
they're fantastic. And you with the pink boa for pink day. No, I thought it was great because there's something about just the way that and this might sound completely crazy, even coming from me, but you make breast cancer approachable. You make it something that can be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You make it something without the fear or the shame or the embarrassment or the nervousness. You make it an open dialogue that is so refreshing and something that is consistently needed in terms of issues within our community, that just the smile on your face with the pink boa made me say, like, this is it. This is what it's about.
I appreciate that. I think, you know, I want to take time to recognize the women and families for whom breast cancer is not a celebration. You know, women who are currently in treatment, women who are having a very hard time, you know, talking and reaching out to others for support. And Sharsheret is not just a place of Pink Day celebrations. It's also a place where women call in the middle of the night when they're hard hit by a diagnosis or really worried about the impact that cancer might have on their families. And for them, you know, I know because I was there too at the age of 28 and then again at the age of 37. It's not a pink boa moment. You know, it's not a happy Pink Day moment. It's a frightening time where you need lots of information and really quickly, and the support of women who've been there and done that. And so Charsheret is that place. We recently got feedback actually from someone who said, you know, I love Charsheret's positive energy, but is it a little misleading? And in some ways, I don't think it's misleading, but it tells only some of the story. The rest of the story of breast cancer in our Jewish community happens here behind closed doors, in confidence, and in private. You know, women are calling in who are distraught and who really need the help of an organization like ours that offers 12 national programs that help the family from the time that may be at risk through diagnosis and treatment and through the survivorship years. And I want to make a special point of noting that we recognize just how serious breast cancer is. We also recognize how important it is to find a community where you can talk freely about breast cancer if that's what makes you feel empowered. And so we're both of those places for the women and families we care for.
I think that's an incredible point. And something that actually also speaks to the privacy aspect of Charsheret is the fact that on your website, there's a live chat option for somebody who maybe doesn't want to make the phone call and can't make the phone call, but they can actually chat online with somebody completely anonymously.
Yeah. And even when they call in can, you know, speak anonymously. We take confidentiality and privacy very seriously at Charsheret. It's one of our core guiding principles.
Right. But one of the things about being able to log on via your computer is that it prevents you or doesn't force you to have to pick up the phone, which is such a moment of, you know, of realization that that somebody may not actually be at that point yet. So being able to be on your computer, the safety of not having to use your voice, even though it's completely anonymous, and just click to chat, it also speaks to just how seriously that Charsheret respects each woman or each family member who calls.
Thank you. Yes, and we, you know, we recognize that the next generation of young women are not necessarily going to be as comfortable on the phone as they are on the computer.
Great point.
And that young moms are taking care of children and busy during the day, or young women, you know, who may be single or working, don't necessarily have business hours with which to communicate with us. Most often we find that young people who've been diagnosed with breast cancer are online after hours. They're doing their research. They're looking to connect with others. And so having that live chat feature introduced this year has really helped us welcome a whole new group of women who, just like you said, really need the privacy and the confidentiality.
It's a great point. It's a phenomenal point about the way, I guess, technology has infiltrated our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. I Google things faster than I pick up the phone. You're 100% right. What major strides are we making in terms of the research for breast cancer that have happened over the last, let's say, a year to 18 months?
I would say the focus on survivorship and research into survivorship is critical for the Jewish women and families we serve. You know, Sharsheret recently was awarded a 3-year grant from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to develop a new program that we call Thriving Again, and it's for young breast cancer survivors. Young women are living much longer lives after diagnosis, but their concerns don't necessarily go away the day the treatment ends. And in fact, new concerns are likely to arise once you start returning to life before cancer. And so the Thriving Again program, I think, will really help address some of the unique concerns of breast cancer survivors, whether they're fertility related, you know, can I, should I have children after a cancer diagnosis, genetics, as a Jewish family, I might be at increased risk, what do I tell my children and when after I finish treatment, and concerns in that area. So I think survivorship is going to be a big focus in the years ahead, and genetics. You know, we're seeing a lot of research at the conferences that focus on very specific markers in genes and in tumors, and we are using that information to really tailor treatment to the specific genetic makeup of individuals. Given that Ashkenazi Jewish women and perhaps even Sephardi Jewish women, we're seeing some research now, are genetically predisposed to certain hereditary cancers, I think the field of genetics is also going to be one that is very important to keep an eye on. And we are doing that for our women and families. So those who want more information should definitely seek us out, and we will help keep you in the loop.
And your honor, your loved one's annual benefit is coming up May 5th. And I know people are like, May's so far away, but Pesach's around the corner, people. So
yeah,
May's
never so far away for us.
Right.
Really, that's the one time of the year when we really, really get together hundreds of women and families. We usually have 550 or so attendees at the event, and it's really a beautiful a celebration.
Sunday, May 5th, 2013. Actually, there's a typo there. I see that. Sunday, May 5th, 2013 at the Teaneck Marriott in Glen Point. This year, the honorees, guest of honor is Tammy Brick from Jamaica Estates, and the Lisa Altman Volunteer Tribute Award goes to Gila Leiter of Teaneck, New Jersey. I highly encourage anyone who has any questions, wants to make a donation to Sharsheret. You can go to sharsheret.org. You can get more information about the services they provide and about this their annual benefit by clicking on the events tab on sharsheret.org. Rochelle, thank you so much as always for joining me.
And my pleasure.
Continued hatzlacha.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And thank you for celebrating Pink Day with us yesterday.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Absolutely.
Take care.
You're listening to That's Life on the Nachum Segal Network. I am Miriam Elwalik. Thank you so much for joining me and for making us part of your day. Let's go through the lineup. And for the rest of the day, so you know what to expect and what not to miss, we have a full afternoon, as always. Right after That's Life, it's something to talk about with Randy Wartelski, followed by an encore presentation of Rivka Abbey, who had on Rabbi Steve Berg of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. You have to listen to this interview. I mean, not only is Rivka good, but Rabbi Berg is fascinating. I would not miss it. Eli Hagler hosts The Jewish Reaction. He has recovered from his loss to Esty Ackerman. For anybody who missed that, the archive is up, and you can go to YouTube and check out the video from our ping pong tournament last week. You can also go to newsday.com and read the entire coverage of the event, or you can go onto my Facebook page where I posted the entire article. It was a fantastic night, and not only was Esty great, but Ellie was even better. Not because he beat her, because he did not, but no, he did not, but because he had the guts to follow through with something that he knew was not necessarily going to go his way, and kol hakavod to Ellie, because it takes a really big man to do that. The Stunt Show, hosted this week by Gorf. And as you know what we say about the Stunt Show, you never know what you're going to get. Thursday Night Extravaganza on from 7 to 8, followed by Spin Class Politics with Michael Fragan. And between the results of the new legislation that was voted on yesterday regarding funding for houses of worship post-Sandy and the State of the Union, you really do not want to miss Michael's presentation this evening. And Book of Life with Charlie Harari will follow up from his interview last week with the 17-year-old girl from North Carolina, South Carolina, who started keeping kosher. She's the only one keeping kosher in her home. She's going to seminary next year. She's a public school student who went on an NCSY trip and decided to keep kosher after that. She has a renewed belief and love of her Judaism, of her Yiddishkeit. You have to listen to the follow-up interview with that. Finally, the day closes with an hour of Jewish soul, hosted by Charlie Bernhow. Join Nachum tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 as he hosts JM AM live here on the stream at NachumSiegel.com. on 91.1, 90.9, and in Rockland County, 91.9 FM, followed by Table for Two with Naomi Nachman. She's putting out great show after great show. We are thrilled about her addition to our network, and we wish her continued hatzlacha. I cannot wait to hear what she's got on this week. Do not miss Saturday Night Siegel, hosted by our one and only Avrami, 10 p.m. on the stream, only at NachumSiegel.com. You can check out our whole list of programming on our website, NachumSiegel.com. Click on the network schedule. This show will be rebroadcast Sunday at 1 p.m. on NachumSiegel.com. I'd like to thank my guests, Michelle Segelnick and Leah Bernstein from the Rambam American Friends of Rambam Medical Center, and to Rochelle Shoritz, I don't know how I just swallowed that, excuse me, founder of Sharsheret. You can go on Sharsheret.org to get more information about all the services they provide. Finally, my thanks to Avrami, my thanks to Yael Lassen, my fearless intern, and today I leave you with an Avrami selection as per the wonderful guests I had on today and to all the great efforts that they do to keep all of us healthy as part of the Jewish community and the greater Olam, as we like to say, or we don't say, the Olam. Az Tischazek by the Nochi Krom Band on the album Banai. That is a shout out to everyone in the medical professional world. We thank them for their efforts. That's life, everybody. Bye, guys. Chazek v'si Yisra'a v'mehoi